The recording has now been started.
Thank you very much. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's call, we have Michaëlle Nylon, Kevin Erdman, Miriam Trudell, Barbara Steele, James Bladel, Barry Cobb, Emil George, Paul Diaz, Tim Ruiz, Eric Brown, Michael Collins, and from staff we have Olaf Nordling, Marika Konings, Glenn de Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry to interrupt. If I may just remind everyone to please state their names when they speak. This is for transcriptions purposes. Thank you.
Thank you for the reminder. This is Tim Ruiz. So hopefully everyone's had a chance to take a look at the agenda. One thing I did want to mention or just to check on is the statement of interests. I believe everyone that was mentioned on the call has submitted a statement of interest. Marika could verify that we've received all the statements of interest. Is there anyone that has joined the group, whether they're on the call or not, who still owes us a statement of interest?
This is Eric Brown. I have not submitted yet. I'll submit it this morning.
Okay.
And I think there's one other person that hasn't submitted yet but has already received a reminder, so we'll follow up on that. But I think as soon as we have all of these, I think Glenn will put them together on a site so everyone will have the link as well to that on the wiki.
This is Michael Collins. I'll update mine and resubmit it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks, Tim. This is Glenn. Yes, I will get them all up as soon as possible, probably during this week if everybody sends theirs in.
All right. Thank you, Glenn.
And Chris Chapler has joined the call. Thank you.
Hello, everybody.
Let's see. Who is that again?
Chris Chapler from the business constituency.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Well, the first item on the agenda is to review the charter and working group processes. It should be on the on Adobe Connect or on the wiki. So if you scroll down into the subheading IRTC Part B Working Group Charter. This is the motion that was put before the GNSO Council to approve the charter, and under the dispatch the resolved, the charter begins. And actually there's five questions or areas of interest that the group has been tasked with reviewing, looking at possible policy or perhaps best practice or whatever necessary in order to resolve. So we'll just look at those briefly. The first one is in regards to a process for urgent return or resolution of a domain name, and it refers to two reports, the SAC hijacking report, which there's a link to that, and then also a statement from Tim Cole to Bruce Tonk in regards to a specific hijacking case and the circumstances surrounding that. The second issue is whether additional provisions on undoing inappropriate transfers are needed, especially with regard to disputes between a registrant and an admin contact. And part of the issue is that the policy is clear that a registrant can overrule the administrative contact, but how that's implemented is currently at the discretion of the registrar. So this is a little different from the first issue where a domain is actually hijacked. This is a case where an example is probably the admin contact has approved the transfer and the registrant disputes that it should have occurred. So dealing with situations like that. The third issue is whether special provisions are needed for a change of registrant when it occurs near the time of registrar or the change of registrar, because the policy doesn't currently deal with that particular situation. And it's been noted that that often figures in hijacking cases. So what can happen is the actual registrant of record changes, and then directly after that, a transfer request is received to move it to another registrar. And because of the issue that this often occurs just before hijacking, various registrars have implemented their own policies in order to deal with that. And I think GoDaddy has been mentioned as a prominent example where if a domain name changes registrant, there's usually a 60-day hold that prevents a transfer until that time period is passed. So is that is that appropriate? If not, what other appropriate measures might be needed to try to solve that that problem, if any? The fourth issue, whether standards or best practices should be implemented regarding use of a registrar lock status. And this has various elements to it. For example, many of the lock provisions or the lock capabilities provided by a registry are visible within the WHOIS. That's not necessarily true, perhaps, with some of the lock mechanisms that registrars themselves might use. And in either case, if the registrant's ability to unlock a name in either case, sufficiently being dealt with. Do they have enough information in order to remove the lock? And what standards or best practices might need to be implemented to clarify that issue for registrants and make sure that they still have the portability of their domain names? The last issue is whether, and if so, how best to clarify denial reason number 7, which is that a domain name was already in lock status, provided that the registrar provides a readily accessible and reasonable means for the registered name holder to remove the lock status. So this is related to the fourth issue, the one just before it. Again, since a registrar could deny a transfer if it was in lock status, is there... Our registrar is providing accessible and reasonable means for registrants to unlock a name, and does further clarification about what accessible and reasonable is, does that need to be defined further within the policy? So those are the issues. And then just finally, in order to get to resolution, the part of the council's motion, their charter, is that further information from ICANN compliance staff should be gathered to understand the elements of the existing policy that are applicable to these five issues. And also the working group should work with compliance staff as it develops its policies or recommendations or best practices to be sure that they're clear and concise and can be enforced. So those are the basic elements of the charter, and I'll just kind of stop there and just ask the group if there's any questions or discussion on any of those issues or any clarification needed. Okay. Good. So the working group is moving on to the working group processes. We're not going to go into those in detail. They're linked to on the wiki. So I would just encourage you to take some time and look at how the working group will function. Just briefly, we'll be working on a consensus basis, and the chair will actually be responsible for determining consensus in each position. And it mentions four different consensus quantifiers, I guess. One would be unanimous consensus position, which would be just everyone is in agreement. Rough consensus, which means that there may be a small minority that agrees, but most or disagrees, but most agree. Strong support, but significant opposition. And then the fourth would be minority viewpoints. And I think in every situation, the processes call for the opportunity for anyone with a minority viewpoint to be able to express that and have it part of any report that the group produces. So look at those a little bit further, and I guess if there's any questions right now about the processes, we could take those and try to resolve those. Okay, so moving on then to the issues report. Again, I would prefer that we not go deeply into the issues report. Again, it's linked to on the wiki. And if you haven't already, I would hope everyone here has taken a look at the issues report. And if you haven't already, I would encourage that before the next call so that you're familiar with the background and how we got to where we are today. And also the other thing I would encourage you to review if you were involved in the brainstorming session in Sydney, the transcript and a recording of that session is both available. They're linked to on the wiki as well. That's another thing I would strongly encourage everyone in the group to review if you haven't before the next call. Any questions or comments right now in regards to the issues report? All right, well, we'll go on to the election of the working group chair then. I'm the registrar liaison assigned by the GNSO Council to the group and serving as the interim chair until we select a chair. So the next discussion is basically, how are we going to elect that working group chair? So I'll open that up to the group and would... If at this point, if there's any interest from anyone on the group in serving as chair, I would like to know that as well, and perhaps we could put that out there. Any takers on that?
Tim?
Tim, there's some hands up in the Adobe Connect screen.
Did I miss some hands on previous issues?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, Paul, go ahead. And then James.
Hi, Tim. It's Paul Diaz. I just wanted to step up here. I was the chair of the IRTP Part A working group. Unfortunately, I won't be in a position to chair this time, although I intend to actively be involved. In the interim, however, I have spoken to some colleagues, and one has graciously offered to put his hat in the ring, so I'd like to nominate Michele as chair for this working group, the Part B working group, and I'm seeking a second.
Okay. Okay, do we have a second for Michele or any other nominations?
This is James, and I would like to second Michele.
All right, any other nominations at this point or discussions for discussion of Michele? No, and I do want to put out there that if, please speak up if you feel that there's, that there may be interest, but, you're not able to respond, particularly on this call. We could leave that out there yet for one more call before resolving the issue. But if not, we could resolve that today. Any other... Marika, you have your hand up?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to point out to the group something that has been discussed and considered in other working groups is the appointment of a vice chair or a co-chair to share a workload, or in those cases where the chair is not available, he or she might delegate the job into someone who wants to volunteer. I mean, there's something for the group to consider. This can be done as well at an ad hoc basis if the chair is not available for some reason. Just something for the group to consider. And again, they don't necessarily need to take a decision on that now. That might be as well in the next meeting or so.
Okay. I think that's a good idea. Anyone else?
Do I need to say anything, Tim?
That was next, Michele, is just your response if this is if you accept the nomination?
I have no problem with that, and in some respects, it probably might work to work out better that it was us, as we, while we are an accredited registrar, we're very small in the grand scheme of things. So if anybody has any contentious issues regarding transfers, we're less likely to have a vested interest.
Okay, thanks, McKelly. I just want to mention too that as I see it, the chair of a working group like this, is a neutral facilitator. However, that doesn't mean to say that, in situations where, they have a particular viewpoint, that can't be shared, as long as it's made clear that that's being shared as more as a participant and not as chair. That sometimes can be a fine line, but I think other chairs have dealt with it rather well and hasn't been a problem. So serving as chair does not necessarily mean that your viewpoints or opinions can't be expressed take part in the group work that way.
Michele here again, Tim. Just so, well, I think you know this anyway. The problem with me and my opinion is trying to stop me sharing it. No, there's no real risk there. But the thing, I've just being reasonable, because I think, as most people probably know, some of the larger registrars are more likely to be targeted or possibly attacked by various third parties with relation to internal policies, whereas a smaller registrar such as ourselves, we haven't had a chance to upset too many people just yet.
Got it. All right, so Marika, maybe I'll just ask, if process issue here, can we just, call for any objections, and if none, determine that McKaylee has been selected as the chair of the working group. Does that sound reasonable?
This is Marika. I don't think there's an official procedure, and I think, indeed, that's how it's being done in the past in most working groups. So. I don't see a problem with that approach.
Okay, thank you. So then, are there any objections to McKaylee serving as chair of the group? All right, hearing none, then congratulations, McKaylee. I think congratulations. We'll see. But as being selected as the chair of the group.
Okay.
Nice. Go ahead, McKaylee.
Okay, so as I'm now the chair of the group until such time as you all decide that you hate me and choose somebody else to replace me, I'll just take over from Tim. Thank you, Tim, for your help with this so far. Just so you're aware, this is the first time I've chaired an ICANN working group, so hopefully I won't make a total hames of this, and if I do, I'm sure you'll all be wonderfully understanding and all that, says he with crossed fingers. Okay, where's the actual, looking for the agenda. We have that, I had that a minute ago. Marika, you put up a vote on the Adobe connecting there with regard to meeting frequency.
Yes, correct. It's a question for this group whether you would like to meet every week or once every 2 weeks. Previous RTP working group met on a weekly basis, but as there are currently a lot of other working groups going on as well, there has been some groups have decided or opted for meetings every 2 weeks. I see so far 9 people have expressed their opinion. I don't see anyone yet opting for the every week option. I don't know if there's anyone on the call that's not in Adobe Connect that would like to express their opinion on this question.
Chris Chaplin speaking. I can't get into Adobe Connect, so I'll just say I'm not hugely opinionated either way. I know in the communications team, we started off every week for a few weeks and then dropped down to every 2 weeks, and it was quite good to get us going. Thanks.
James has his hand up, McKelly.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, James, go ahead.
Hi, this is James. Just wanted to point out that there is another working group that also meets on Tuesdays in the afternoon for my time, but several hours after this one, UTC. So if that one is meeting currently weekly, I believe, but we're having this week off. Is that correct?
James, this was, would be the working group I'm involved with as well, I presume.
Yes, it is. And so I wanted to point out that there are some other working groups that we probably want to steer around if it's a weekly or biweekly event. And then a second question or item up for discussion would be the duration of the calls. I've seen that some working groups, for example, if they have a weekly call, they drop down to an hour duration. And then some biweekly calls are a little bit longer. So I just wanted to point out that there's options there as well.
Okay. Anybody, anybody else got their hand up?
Yeah, Miguel, if I can just add to that, I think the group should know as well that, of course, at any point in time, they can come back to the decision and indeed decide. If they decide now to meet on a biweekly basis and at some point see that, you know, not enough progress is being made, you know, there's no problem switching back to a weekly schedule or the other way around. So, you know, the group could decide to try out a certain approach going forward, but at a certain point in time, revisit that decision if they feel that's required to make progress and meet the deadlines.
Okay, so far we've got four people with no preference and seven saying every 2 weeks. So I suppose we could proceed on the basis that we're looking at every 2 weeks initially, and bearing in mind, as James mentioned, that there are other working groups. So maybe we might just be able to set up a doodle or one of those things so we can just see which times and days work best for everybody.
If I can just add something to that, because I think in the current state that HICAN is in, we have working groups and meetings basically every day of the week. So, you know, if, as it seems that at least this time of the day and the day works for most now, just want to ask, do most people feel that this is a really bad time and bad day? Because going into the doodle process doesn't necessarily make things easier to find a better time or day. So,
good point. I mean, for me it works fine. I don't know about anybody else. Anybody else have any comments on the time of the day or the day of the week?
This is James.
This is Jim. Yeah.
I just wanted to point out that this was the incumbent time slot for those that were on the previous IRTP group, IRTPA, and I see that most of those folks are also on this group, although we've picked up quite a few others as well. So I think that, whether that's just a question of inertia or old habits or whether it makes sense to keep all of the IRTP groups in some sort of a uniform time slot. That's something for the group to decide.
Okay. Tim Ruiz?
I'm lowering my hand now.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And again, just to add there, you know, if any point in time the group feels they need to revisit the time and the day of the meeting, that's no problem. I just want to caution because we have currently so many groups going on, and it's a real challenge to every time, especially if a group doesn't settle on a set time and date. It's really complicated to find a time and date that works for most. So,
okay, so can we proceed on the basis, unless we get objections, that we'll continue using this time slot then? Has anybody got any strong objections to this time slot? Okay, I'll take that deathly silence to mean no. Either that or everybody's afraid of me or nobody's phones are working. Just as a word of warning, my network people are telling me that there's some weird issue with our network in our office. So if I vanish off the call, it's not because I hate you all. It's because technology has worked against me. Okay, moving on. Okay, so the questions that we've been asked to look at, does anybody have any issues with any of those questions or anything that people don't understand? Do people need any clarification of the issues at this juncture?
Christopher speaking. Yeah, I have to hold my hand up to needing sort of a good bit of clarification, but I don't think there's one you know, specific issue that we can just focus on right now. It might be, if there's somebody that can mentor me a little bit, that might help, so that I can have either a call or emails on some issues later during the week before the next call.
Which time zone, by the sound of your accent, you sound like you're across the water from me, but you could be on the other side of the globe for all I know. Chris, which time zone are you in?
I'm in European time.
Right.
I don't know which water you are talking about.
Fair enough. I'm in Ireland. Marika wishes to say something.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to point out, and you know, especially for those that are new to these issues, and you know, some of these issues might require some technical expertise or more explanation. What we've done in the previous IRTP working group is, for each of the issues, identify whether there were any experts, you know, within the different companies or groups that are participating on this call that might be of assistance in briefing the group on, you know, particularities around a certain issue or the technical ways and things work. So maybe that's something as well for the group to consider for each of these issues, whether they're, you know, specific experts or people they would like to tap on to provide a little briefing or explanation of the specific issue and why it is an issue or what the problems are. And that might help as well if the group starts getting into discussions of potential solutions to have some feedback on whether certain things are feasible or actually you know, can be implemented down the road. So that's something to consider going forward.
Mikey, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've been, I think, on just about all of these along with Tim, and I'd be happy to mentor anybody, including you. So count that as a resource. I have lots of spare time. Happy to help wherever I can.
Okay, perfect. Anybody else have any other comments?
Hi, this is Anil George. I'm not on Adobe. I know that there are two mics. Just wondering which mic just offered mentoring.
This is Mike E. That's why I call myself that at ICANN, because we seem to have an overpopulation of mics. So it's Mikey O'Connor that's offering.
Thank you.
So you've got a Mikey, a Kaylee, and a Michael in the same group, so that's going to be great fun.
We really need a mic. You know, we usually have at least two or three mics.
Well, there is a mic, but he's not on the call as far as he hasn't made it onto the call from what I can see.
So we do have a full complement.
Oh, we do. We have the full complement. We have a Mike Rodenbaugh who does, and there's a who hasn't appeared on the call. He's on the list, though.
Perfect.
Marika, what is the exact timeline on this?
You mean to get to the end result?
Well, no. I mean, this is ICANN we're talking about here. I mean, say, for example, looking for feedback from other constituencies and possibly public comment. Is there a timeline on those?
Well, the milestones that have been put in the charter, you can see it's still up there, are basically just the initial report, the first comment period, and the preliminary final report. There are some specific deadlines that are in the ICANN bylaws, but you know, to be honest, they have been proven very difficult to adhere to because most of them are just too short. So you know, what I could recommend to this group, looking at the timeline that's there, that is basically based on experience with previous working groups, is to look at a timeline and probably divide that up and seeing where, at which stages they would like to receive, for example, the constituency statements in order to incorporate that into the report and reflect on those. So in one of the other working groups, we spoke to several of the constituency reps and they indicated that, you know, a 30-day time frame should be sufficient for them to provide input. So that's something to take into account looking at that.
Okay. Right. Okay. So let's. Has anybody on the call read the ESSAC report yet? Or has everybody? Or can I presume that everybody has read it?
Yeah. This is Tim McKaylee. I've read the one that's linked to on the page. I want to mention though that, I don't believe it's been posted yet, but that the ESSAC has completed another study. It's more related to, you know, it,
to this in the fact, in the sense that it's about security, securing domain names and authenticating, you know, the actual registrants, that type of thing. That I haven't read completely yet, but I know that's going to be due out from the SAC, if not already, very soon. And I think there'll be, it already is, okay. And I think there's some information there that may be applicable as well to this group, and would encourage that be read, and perhaps even linked to on the wiki.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I think that was published quietly by the SAC about a week ago. If for those of you who haven't looked at it, it goes into a variety of different things, including the attacks on the ICANN domains and a few other ones. There's quite a few high-profile things that they talk about. What is the next thing for us to do here? I suppose is to look at, can we identify? Yeah, sorry.
Here might be an idea to invite Dave Piscatella from the SAC and ICANN staff to give an update to the group on those issues and allow us to offer some questions. Maybe that's something for the next call. If the group feels that might be helpful.
Okay, very good. Has anybody got any other input?
Michele, it's Paul.
Yes.
Hi, Paul. Yes, Paul Diaz. Marika, if you would please, that new SAC report that both Tim and Michele were referencing, SAC 040, we should add that to the wiki so it's centralized for everybody. And I do recommend that everybody skim over that. It will provide useful background for a number of the discussions we'll have as part of this working group.
I'll get that posted, and I'll send as well a note to the mailing list, and I'll also add that there or the other report too.
Yeah, and along those lines, definitely concur that we should invite Dave Piscitello because he was the lead author on at least two of the three reports we're talking about from SSEC.
Okay, so Marika, could you see when would he be available to take those questions and give us an update?
Yeah, I'll see if he's available for the next call then in 2 weeks.
Okay, perfect. Right. The other thing, I suppose, is just in terms, as a lot of this stuff is to do with the ICANN policies, and I'm personally not familiar with everybody who's in this group. I know there are several people from the registrar constituency who would be familiar with things, and I know that some of the others would be. Has everybody on this call read the current policies on transfers? And what's it described as, Marika, the consensus policy for intra registrar transfers?
I think it has a longer title even than that, but let me just see if I can. I think you're correct.
Keely, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
I think that's probably not, I'm not sure if that's linked to on the wiki or not. That might be good, as well as I believe there is at least one advisory, there might be two, in regards to the policy that would be good for everyone to review as well. Because the advisory actually, at least the one I'm thinking of, has direct application to at least one of the points that we'll be talking about in regards to, you know, changes to who is data not preventing the transfer and the conditions surrounding that. So that might be good for everyone to review and perhaps, you know, any questions about the policy or any questions to registrars about how they might view it or interpret parts of it, you know, might be a good topic for discussion as well.
Yeah.
This is Mikey.
Hi, Mikey.
I think maybe if Olaf's on the call, there are also some quite a bit older documents that we might want to post out to the wiki, some of the very initial issue reports and so on. I'm not sure whether the one that's up is a summary of those or whether we should get some of the original documents up there too. It would be useful just to have those historical pieces up.
I mean, you can also post them to the mailing list as well, which rather than waiting for staff to post them to wikis and things. Might help, just might help if you know of the documents specifically yourself, just sort of just move this forward a little bit. Do you have any documents in mind, Mikey?
Part of the reason that I'm pointing at Olaf is because there are a boatload of them, and
okay.
It gets a little bit confusing as to which one to post.
Yeah, it doesn't work. If I just can comment on that specific point, you know, indeed, in drafting the issues report, I try to go back through all those documents, but it is quite a challenge and quite confusing because there has been, you know, some overlap and as well some delay in certain documents. So I would caution a bit going back too far because you really need the context into, you know, which group developed which document and for what purpose it was developed. And I try to group all the relevant information related to those previous documents in the issues report. And, you know, Mikey, if you find any parts that you think should are relevant for this discussion and should be included here, I would, you know, rather recommend to take them out and provide a link, because I think some of the documents, it might not be clear to some, you know, what the purpose was or what the, you know, the discussions around the document were.
Oh, that works fine for me. As long as you've gone ahead, Rick, I haven't read your latest one, so I'll bow to that, because it is really confusing. Some of those documents go way back.
Yeah, so this is Tim. I'll just echo that. I think that if you review the issues report and look at the reference documents there, I think it's going to cover most of what's probably relevant to this group, in my opinion.
I mean, the other thing as well, guys, is, I mean, if we don't want to be trying to look at too many documents, going back too far, because it's just otherwise we're never going to finish. We'll never get anywhere. The most current FSAC advisory, the one that myself and Tim have mentioned a couple of times, I think it also includes references to a lot of the older documents that other people have mentioned. But there's no point looking at something that happened 10 years ago, because obviously we would hope that everything's moved on a little bit since then. So just try to keep it a little bit more, keep it kind of focused.
Let me just say, Neil George, I just had a question. I was wondering, since I'm new to the group and just getting to know you guys, is there a place on the wiki where we have access to information or the statement of interest about all the members of the working group to know, your everyone's backgrounds?
This is Marika. Those will be posted shortly as soon as we receive most of the statements of interest.
Okay, thank you.
Just answering that for me, if you Google me, you'll find most things out about me anyway. So I don't have anything to hide. I see a couple of people with their hands up. James?
Yes, thanks, Michaeli, and I would echo that you have nothing to hide as a follower of you on various social networking sites. So. Getting back to the collection of different sources of information, and not to, trying to overload that process, but as a component of the existing IRTP policy, there is a separate document that describes the transfer dispute resolution policy as it exists currently. And since that, I think, is very germane to the first and second questions that are outlined in our charter. So I'd like to point that out as possibly a recommended reading, and as well as if we can get any usage statistics on that from staff or from the registry reps that are on the call. I just wanted to point out that was also a good resource.
Okay, thank you. Just one thing, as I'm looking at the wiki at the moment. Marika, is that the full, most current list of the members of the working group at present?
Yes, it should be.
So it seems to be. So I don't see Michael Collins on there. Oh, he is there. Sorry, Michael, you are there. What's RYC?
Registry. Constituency.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, because... all the acronyms that ICANN would drive most people to drink.
I'll put a footnote there explaining all of these.
Yeah, and I think for a couple of people who are newer to the process, it's confusing. And for those of us who are in the process all the time, it can get confusing, and it's trying to translate. CBUC is commercial, isn't it?
Yes.
And NCUC is non-commercial, but like my head is hurting. What is IPC is intellectual property.
Correct.
Okay. Right. Any other comments at this time? Anybody? No? Quiet. Okay. Right. Just because we're planning approaches. Okay. Moving forward with the charter questions then. Marika, what would you suggest is our next course of action?
In the previous group, I think they just decided to go from, you know, they had as well three issues, just start at the top and move through each of these and try to address them one by one. I mean, the group here might consider, as the last two are very closely related, to take those two together. But I guess, again, there's for the group to decide if they feel there should be one issue that requires more time or is more timely to do it now, because there's some other initiatives going on that, you know, are reviewing similar questions. But again, otherwise, just starting at A might be a proposed approach.
Okay. Does anybody have any problems with us doing from A to B? A to Z, rather than trying to nitpick about which one we start looking at first. Tim has his hand up again. Tim?
I think that's a reasonable approach, just looking at the issues and how information from one might flow or affect another. So I think that's actually laid out there pretty well that way. And possibly when we get to D and E, I think the information or what's being asked there in D, would actually affect E. But I think together those are probably, you know, overall a single issue. And I think that would work well.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, this is Mikey. I am sort of dialing back into this one after kind of a long hiatus and realize that there's a fair amount of overlap between this and the post-expiration domain name recovery working group. Have others thought about this and have an idea of whether we should coordinate?
Well, I think several of us are on both groups. So I know I'm on the post-expiry, and I know that both Tim and James are.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm not too sure if anybody else is who's on this call. Paul, are you on the post-expiry as well?
Yes, I am, Kelly.
Anybody else? Michael, are you on that?
No, I'm not. With Michael.
I think Mike Rodenbaugh this is Tim. I think Mike Rodenbaugh may also be participating in both. I guess I'm not convinced there's as much overlap as it might appear, but I think given all the number of cross members, if that should occur, I think we're going to be able to identify it pretty quickly and be able to deal with it.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with Tim. I think there is definitely, I'm not too sure whether the overlap is huge or not, but they definitely impact each other. James, you had your hand up there for a second.
Yeah, it's just to echo what Tim was saying. I think that there may not be as much overlap as would initially appear, but since we have a good cross-pollinization of both groups, we should just be mindful of it and address it if and when it arises.
And this is Marika. Just to add to that, I'm as well the staff person on the other group, so hopefully I'll be able as well to identify if there are any issues that this group should have a look at that the other group is discussing. So we hopefully have plenty of eyes and ears to cover that.
I mean, okay, are there any problems with any of the term? I mean, one of the problems with the other working group that we ran into was actually just dealing with basic terminology. Is there any parts of the terminology that we're using in the documents that we've presented with so far? Are any of those terms confusing for anybody at present? Are there any terms that people are not comfortable with, or any terms that people are unclear about? Or can we just work away with the terminology we have? James,
this is James.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to point out it's not something I'm personally unclear about, but I just wanted to highlight an area where perhaps a clarification of terminology could be used, and that's in chart question C when it discusses change of registrant. I wanted to point out that in my dealings with various country codes, this is often called a trade, where a registration changes registrants but does not cross a registrar boundary. So I just wanted to maybe point out that that might be one concept that could use the definitional work to distinguish it from other types of inter-registrar transfers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be willing to put some thoughts on the mailing list for folks to poke it with sticks, and we can maybe flesh out a better definition.
Okay. So you think so if we were to replace the phrase change of registrant, then maybe like a domain, a trade would be a term that you might be more comfortable with.
Well, I'm not advocating that we replace it. I just want to make sure that we are highlighting the difference between that and a transfer across registrars, and that we put a little bit of a spotlight on that. Whether we have multiple definitions to it, that's fine, but I want to make sure to, for the purposes of that question and going forward through all five questions, I want to make sure that there's no confusion over that concept.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to add about the terminology? I'm going to look here in the Adobe Connect. Nobody's got their hands up. So, okay, James, if you could, when you have a moment, post some thoughts on that to the list, it would be helpful. So if we were to work then on the basis that we will look first of all at A, and then when we've had a look at A, we will move to B, then to C, D, and E, and possibly realizing that there might be some overlap between some of them. Somebody beeping. And anybody have any problems with that? Take the silence as a resound as being okay. Marika, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Now, what else is on this agenda? Looking at this agenda, I keep coming back to it. Okay, so the sole meeting schedule...
Can we just go one back, Michaela?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yes, I was looking at that big chunk of text in the middle. What exactly is that?
This is basically, there's a requirement in the ICANN bylaws that there should be a public notification of the initiation of a policy development process, so a public comment period. So this is an opportunity for the group, apart from just telling the world that this policy development process has started, to ask some specific questions if they would like to the public at large to respond to. And just could just be, you know, posting the five charter questions, or the group could consider as well adding some further details if they feel there are certain issues they would like a public input on. So I'm happy to put a first draft of such a notification together and put it on a mailing list, and maybe the group can then review and discuss that on the next call. That would be a suggestion.
Just before you do that, I would humbly suggest that you do as similar to my previous request with regard to the other working group, that we include clear links to definitions of the terminology that people can agree on, because the other problem I personally see is that a lot of these requests for comments are use language that normal people can't really understand. Tim has his hand up again.
Sorry, McKay. We actually, I had a comment in regards to the previous point, so but I don't want to confuse things here, so I can wait if...
No, go ahead, because I forgot what you were talking about as well, so
okay.
Go ahead.
As I was looking at A and B in the charter, it occurs to me that, you know, there could be some potential need to discuss, not so much a definition for those two situations, but more
you know, what types of situation falls into which area, and maybe to some extent they'll overlap a little bit. But, you know, the difference between urgent return resolution of a domain name for some reason, perhaps hijacking, versus undoing an inappropriate transfer. You know, so, you know, what would we consider an inappropriate transfer? Do we want to restrict that just to when the registrant disputes the approval of the admin contact, or are there other situations? And you know, how might the urgent return resolution and resolution affect that or come into play there? So I think there's some overlap there. I just wanted to point that out, that dealing with those completely separately will either require some discussion about where we draw the line there between those two situations, or perhaps looking at them maybe a little bit in tandem.
Okay, thank you. Everybody else got their hand up? Okay, I presume that you just haven't taken yours down yet, Tim. Okay, so...
Michaela, can I add something to point six?
Sure, please.
And something that I should have added there, and something as well that we've done in the other group, is the development of a template for constituencies. And there again, you know, constituencies can, in principle, you know, submit the information as they like, but other groups have opted to provide them with a template of questions, sometimes just using the charter questions or sometimes breaking those down and adding more specific questions. So, again, I would like to propose there that I prepare a first draft just based on the charter questions so that people can then think about if there are any other questions they would like to add, and we can hopefully review and discuss that on the next call, if you all agree.
Okay. Okay, we've covered pretty much everything. The last item seems to be the with relation to Seoul.
Michaela, if I can add something to that.
Yep.
I've just put up a little poll in the Adobe Connect. It's related to, we're already in the process of scheduling for the Seoul meeting, and as most of you know, there's a lot of stuff going on, and the schedule fills up very quickly. So this is just to get an idea whether this group would like to have a public meeting there. And I put up a little poll to see whether people are attending and whether they would like to participate, or if they're not attending, whether they would like to participate remotely, if the time, of course, allows, or if they feel we shouldn't have a meeting there. It would be an opportunity, of course, to interact with the broader ICANN community and have discussions there. We do it with some of the other working groups as well. But it's not a requirement. It's an option for the group to discuss.
Okay, thank you. Okay, James, you're first. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to put on the table for consideration one approach that was used by a previous working group during the face-to-face, where a portion of the meeting, at least the first half hour, was the regularly scheduled working group meeting during the Seoul event, and then the last half hour was somewhat of a workshop where anyone in the community that was not part of the working group was welcome to join and participate. And I thought, in addition to getting some good ideas, it was also an excellent recruiting tool to get for the additional participation on the working group. So I'd just like to put that out for consideration.
Nice idea. Paul, you had something to add?
Yeah, it's a question for you, Michaela or Marika. Logistics question. Seoul is, I'm assuming, similar to the Australia time zone. So for those of us on the East Coast and in Western Europe, a meeting during the workday there would probably be some crazy oh dark 100 hour back here. I'm just wondering, you know, with the participants, again, recognize the number of us on the list. If we're not physically in Seoul, I think participating remotely could be very difficult if the time's similar to Sydney.
I can have a look and see what's still available in the schedule and see what that works out at in the different time zones, and maybe take that back to all of you at the next meeting to see whether indeed we would have critical mass in Seoul and remotely to have such a meeting. Would that be
I think that would help, Marika, just because, again, like when you did your workshop, you did it early, and that was helpful. But if it's, you know, scheduled more during the daytime hours there in Seoul, it just becomes really, really difficult to dial in remotely.
Yeah, I'll have a look, and yeah, I'll see if we can have a breakfast meeting, which I guess will be the best moment of the day to have. I guess that will be evening time in the U.S.
Yeah, it's like a day later and stuff. It we'll certainly make the effort, and if you could just confirm, and then we'll take it up next week.
I'll do so.
The time difference for those of you who are interested is UTC plus 9 to Korea. So it's probably is that the same time zone as Sydney? It's practically the same. It's only a couple of hours out, maybe, or something. I don't know.
I think Sydney was a bit more.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think it might be an hour difference or an hour less, perhaps, something like that.
Not a huge difference then, really. On the plus side, those of us who are going there won't be bothered by our staff unless they're really feeling like living dangerously. Okay, so we'll come back to this thing about the meeting depending on slots are available. So Marika should update us on that, we hope.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other business we need to attend to? No? Okay then. So can we wrap this up then and pick up again in 2 weeks and follow up on the mailing list in the interim?
I'm sorry, Michaela, can I ask one more question?
Sure.
It's Paul Diaz again. Just for the scheduling then, if we go to a biweekly, will it be a standard one-hour meeting, or are we going to try and do perhaps 90 minutes? It just seems if we're only meeting every other week, I'm just comparing it to the first go-around on this. Over time, that's a lot less time that we're putting into the working group if we leave it at 1 hour per session.
Well, one thing I would add to that is that there's also that we should also be communicating via the mailing list in the interim period as well. So,
this is Tim. I would just like to mention that, you know, some may have difficulty, you know, with doing more than an hour, but you know, I certainly think it might be helpful to try to schedule these for 90 minutes or allow 90 minutes, keeping in mind that, you know, if we can wrap it up in an hour, great, but if it has to run over a little bit, having that extra time might be helpful. We have to remember some may have to drop off the call, so we're going to lose some participation after that first 60 minutes. At least that's my experience. But having it scheduled for 90 might be helpful just to be able to wrap up some things and not have to drop off the call if we're in the middle of something.
Well, that seems reasonable. Anybody else have any thoughts? Or James, you've got your hand up.
Sorry, mute button issues. This is on a separate subject, so I'll wait until everyone's had a chance to discuss Tim's point.
Okay, well, I think everybody's voted in favor of 90 minutes on the little poll thing that Marika put up.
Okay. This is Tim. I just voted for 60.
at least
a try. I think, I think it's just a matter of logistics for most people on the call. And we have to keep in mind, too, the staff is... you know, they have. This isn't the only thing they do. They have a number of different calls throughout that day, or throughout every day, probably. So, you know, to the extent possible, when we can keep it to 60 minutes, I think that's practical. At least my opinion.
Okay. How about if we reach a happy middle ground where we shoot for 60, but if we can allow for 90 where possible, but we'll try to keep it as close to 60 as possible.
Michele, I'm sorry, just a follow-up.
Yes.
Another logistics question from Paul. Did we agree at the beginning that there would be a doodle? Because I understand ALAC members have difficulty. There's always something. their monthly meetings at this particular time slot. So if we're talking about a 90-minute schedule with a goal of doing it in 60, but is it at this time, or are we going to try and sort that out through a Doodle survey?
Maybe we could time it in such a way that it doesn't fall on there. I mean, if we do it biweekly, we should be able to time it in such a way that
that's,
it maybe
that's what I was looking for, yeah.
I can check with ALAC staff how if it's really, you know, in a month's time, the next one. So when
Gisela here. The ALAC call is on the last Tuesday of every month at 1400 UTC, scheduled for 1:30.
Okay. So if we just aim to have the call the week before or the week after each one of those, then that shouldn't cause a conflict.
Correct.
Yeah, so we'll have to look at the calendar to see if we then need to have one call following 1 week to, you know, get out of the rhythm that we conflict with their calls, I guess.
Well, that's all I was about to suggest. Okay, guys, how about this as a suggestion? Because just to get things moving, if we were to have another call next week and then have it every 2 weeks, then that way hopefully we wouldn't clash with the ALAC call.
I think that makes sense.
This is Tim. I would agree with that, but for a selfish reason, because the week after that I'll be on vacation again. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to work on the. Okay. Sorry, Marika. Go ahead.
Sorry, no, just Gisela. The next ALAC call is on the 22nd of September. So correct that if we do, just get it next week and then every other week, it shouldn't conflict with ALAC.
Perfect. Chris, you don't like that idea?
No, simply because, I mean, there's always one, isn't there? I'm actually travelling to Marina Del Rey this time next week, so I won't be able to take part in that, but read the transcripts.
That's just for next week. We're just trying to get the schedule kind of somewhere close to sanity so that we're getting most people most of the time.
That's right, and I'm also learning the Adobe Connect and playing with it a little. It seems I can do across now, thanks.
Just to point out to those that are new to Adobe Connect, I did put up a link as well in the wiki that gives you like an introduction to some of the basic functionality of Adobe Connect, so that might help in getting familiar with the options and tools you have at hand there.
Yeah, this is Tim. Just a question for Chris and perhaps the other TVUC participants. Is that everyone with the CBUC that will be going to Marina Del Rey, or will others be able to participate in the call?
No, I think it's just me as part of the communications sub-team working on the website.
Okay. Yeah, I was just concerned that we try to be as flexible as possible, but if an entire constituency or an entire interest group or whatever is not going to be able to participate, then, you know, we might want to consider that.
Okay, James, you had a question on something completely unrelated.
Yeah, something completely different. Just to point out, just because we have a lot of new folks on this group, as the name implies, RRTPB, it's the second in a series. So while we're talking about different reading or review materials that might be helpful or relevant to our discussions, we'd encourage everyone to take a look at the issues that were covered in IRTPA that wrapped up earlier this year, and possibly even peek ahead at IRTPC through, I don't know how far they go. Just in case we start to find ourselves going down one of those paths, we should just bear in mind that this is a part of a sequence as opposed to just an isolated PDP working group. And that's all I wanted to add on that.
Michaela, if I can just add something to that.
Yeah, work with.
This is Marika. Yeah, just to echo basically what James said, and as well for some of you that asked like some more information or introduction on the issues here, I think the IRTP Part A issues report and the final report give as well some further details as to how the process works and the different functionalities of the different steps in the procedure. So it might be as well a helpful introduction to some of the concepts that will come up throughout the discussion here.
great. Right, Marika, do you still have your hand up, or is that from...
No, sorry. I have to lower it.
That's okay.
There you go.
I'm getting used to this kind of thing, having to check. I do apologize in advance. Has anybody got any other issues to raise at this time, or can we wrap this up? Okay, can we wrap this up then? Anybody have anything else to say? Okay, then. So, Marika, we're scheduling this meet call for next week at the same time. Is that okay?
Correct.
And then we'll do every 2 weeks from then on, bearing in mind that some people may not be able to make all calls, but unfortunately, while we can try to accommodate people, we can't accommodate everybody all the time. Okay, then. So if anybody wants to follow up, maybe has any queries or anything, I think you all have my contact details and Marika's details, and most of you have posted to the list. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, McKelly. I appreciate you stepping up as chair, too. It's just great to have a new face or a new voice in that seat, so appreciate that.
Thank you, McKelly.
You mean fresh meat, so a new victim?
Fresh meat, there we go.
Fresh meat works.
Yeah. I think who was it who was looking for help? Chris was looking for... If you want to ping any of us off list with any queries you have, please feel free to do so.
Great. Thanks very much for that. Yeah.
You'll find I'm really not hard to find. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If you can't find my contact details within about 5 minutes, you're looking in the completely wrong place.
Great. Okay. Yeah.
And if anybody else has any issues with any of that kind of stuff, I mean, I think there's several people who've been through a lot of this stuff before who probably can help out with clarifying things. So I'll leave you all to it. Okay, thanks. Talk again next week.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Thanks, McKay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. Hello, Bernard.
Hello, Gizo. This is Vanessa.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Now, I've just seen that you sent a message on this meeting view. It's just because I've got another call in my ear, that's why.
No,
do we know who this Graham is?
If you just, can you just bear with me a moment?
Thanks.
Yeah, Bernice said that she called him out, and he said that he was from Dynamic Services.
Graham from Dynamic Services. Okay, I'll see if I've got him on our mailing list. No problem. Thanks very much, Benedetta. And enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.